Your service for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, September the 21st, 2025. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. O Lord, keep your church in perpetual mercy, and because without you we cannot but fall, preserve us from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our sermon text is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1-15. Paul writes, First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed, a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for the women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. And yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness, with self-control. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A sermon entitled, Peaceful and Quiet, Godly and Dignified. Undoubtedly, you have noticed that we weekly include in the prayer of the church petitions on behalf of our government, and for that matter, all governments of the world. We do this even should the party in power not be the one of our own choosing. We do this specifically in obedience to St. Paul's instruction to Pastor Timothy, who wrote to him, First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions. It is said that even a bad government ruled by tyranny is better than no government, for that is anarchy. We pray for good governing order in this world, even though as Christians we keep our eyes focused more on the world to come. Until that time, good government can make our wait easier and more productive while we remain as we now are. In his letter, Paul explains that we want good government so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. He explains how this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Indeed, as Christians, we seek to be simple people with simple priorities. We seek a life of peace. We seek for that life in life to be quiet and without unnecessary turmoil. We want dignity in every way. For us, it is not about pursuing power, fame, and wealth. Instead, it is about peace, humility, and service to God and to others. Having good government order instead of chaos helps to make this reality. Paul speaks about what our life together is to look like. Clearly, it is a life of worship. He says, I desire then in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. We should be worshiping together in unity and in community. And though we may get angry at times with each other, this should be short-lived. There's no need to go on with unceasing quarrels. Here, these words of Paul in Ephesians 4:32 come to mind when he instructed, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Indeed, we are to excel in kindness, tenderness, and in forgiveness. And this is possible all thanks to our Lord Christ, who has forgiven us. Returning to our text, it is made clear, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all." This sums up how we are forgiven of our sins by God. The one God sent his only Son into our world, who became a human being. He is Jesus, who lived in this sinful world apart from sin, holy and innocent in every way. He is the one who mediated peace between God and mankind through his shed blood, dying on Calvary's cross. Paul would write to the Colossians how all things have been reconciled to God since Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross, and we know it true by his resurrection from the dead. Hence there is to be no ongoing anger or quarreling among the faithful, but the lifting up of hands in worship, and there is to be cooperation, that we may proceed with the tasks we have been left. Which task is that? Well, in our text, Paul speaks how the Lord desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Our Lord's desire is to be our own, both as individuals and together in the church. You and I, giving witness to our faith by leading peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way, in part with the help of good government, lifting up holy hands together in worship, not angry and quarreling, but loving and forgiving. Help make that happen. You see, others will look at Christians, see the peace, love, and tranquility that are ours, and look into what makes that possible. They will want to know about our Christ. To that end, they are welcome to join us in worship. And here in worship, they will hear the word to which we come regularly to listen. In our text, Paul speaks about how, "For this I was appointed, a preacher and an apostle, a teacher in faith and in truth." He was writing to Timothy, who was to devote himself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Timothy was to preach the word. It was his purpose, as it was Paul's, to rightly handle the word of truth. The hope is that as these inquirers come into our assembly, the word will cut them to the heart, convicting them of their sins. They will start to wonder what they are then to do. And hopefully they will hear this message of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians 14, in this process, the secrets of the inquirer's heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among us. He or she will be brought to saving faith, and this is good, for the Lord desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, this is what we can do together, but there are still other things that we can do as individuals in our witness and ministry. Paul spoke about men not being angry or quarreling as they lift up holy hands in worship. But he also had some things that he specifically addressed to women. You see, though women are equal, they are at the same time different than men. They are able to witness to their faith both in important and in unique ways. The world might view what Paul next says with disdain and accuse him of chauvinism, but what he says is actually good and helpful. He instructs Timothy regarding Christian women how, likewise, also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modest and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let's now take a moment to unpack some of this. He acknowledges how a woman desires to adorn herself. There's nothing wrong with braided hair or wearing gold or pearls. There's nothing wrong even with costly attire, as long as it is both respectable and modest. However, he wants them to know that there is a better way for a Christian woman to be beautiful. This better way is for her to adorn herself with good works. Generally speaking, the Lord has given women unique abilities and opportunities to do certain good works, ones that do not come naturally to men. I think all of us know that women excel over men when it comes to kindness, compassion, devotion, and love, or at least they are able to express these in more nurturing ways than men can. They are better at clothing and feeding others. They excel in hospitality. Adorning yourselves in good works that better suit you help make Christ more attractive to those both inside and outside the faith. Therefore, in our life together within the church, men and women are to take on different roles. Men and women are certainly equal, but called to do different things. This brings us now to this instruction in our text of Paul to Timothy for order in the church. He wrote, "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet." It is for this reason that only men are to take on the role of being pastor in the church. Some might protest and say, "Well, that was the culture of that day, but today we are in a different culture." However, Paul makes his point based on orders of creation. He then explains, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve." Paul then speaks of how Adam failed to speak up in the garden, placing the responsibility of the fall on him, not just Eve. Men and women have different roles to fulfill, both in the family and in the church. Had Adam and Eve followed that order, the fall and the sin may not have happened. At last, Paul concludes with this peculiar statement, "Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control." On the surface, this is confusing, but in context, it can only be talking about one unique birth that saves both men and women. It was the birth of Jesus by Mary, God's handmaiden, through whom our Lord was connected to all humanity. Indeed, Mary, the mother of our Lord, played a most vital role in our salvation, giving birth to the Savior of the world. We pray for good government. We seek to lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. Together we pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. We teach God's word clearly. We adorn ourselves equally but differently as men and women with good works. We seek to make the faith attractive to all. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, and who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.